We now bring to these microphones David James for our weekly conversation. This time we're going to focus on religious convergence in the last days, which would include the Catholics, the Pentecostal, Charismatics, and Evangelicals. David, the Pope has been making headlines once again, this time because of an important meeting with Evangelical and Pentecostal leaders in Rome last week.
That's right. On Friday of last week, Pope Francis met with several prominent evangelical and Pentecostal leaders in Rome, and it was to discuss what is said to be areas of mutual agreement and also to discuss where they respectfully disagreed. And one article reports that the aim of the gathering, even though it had no official agenda, was to build unity between Christian traditions that have historically been at odds with one another.
Well, about 10 years ago, I think it was, David, we were together at a large conference in Dallas, Texas, and you actually spoke on the topic of religious convergence in the last days. Now, this meeting in Rome seems to confirm actually what you were saying then, doesn't it?
Well, yes, that's right. It was at that meeting that I first started discussing this publicly. I'd been thinking about it for a while, and it was a result of many years of study of both of the Charismatic and Pentecostal movement, as well as study and teaching of Roman Catholicism. And what I began to see was that, especially with the development of the Charismatic movement within the Catholic Church, and also some moves from the Pentecostal side, that if individuals or groups agreed on the operation, modern-day operation of the sign gifts, specifically speaking in tongues, that basically they would agree that they're brothers and sisters in Christ, that they could cooperate together, minister together, and all other doctrinal differences were really relegated to a secondary or tertiary status.
You know, it's an interesting article that the Christian Post website noted the other day. One of the men who met with the Pope was a former head of the World Evangelical Alliance, which he's a pretty high-ranking evangelical, I would have to imagine.
Yes, it's kind of an odd thing. The one you're speaking of was a former Secretary General, a man named Jeff Tunnicliffe. He's a Canadian, and he was the Secretary General of the World Evangelical Alliance, but that's kind of I would say it's a misnomer. It would certainly be evangelicalism defined in the very broadest possible terms, because they even cooperate with the World Council of Churches. It's an organization of about 129 national alliances, different 129 different nations, and over 100 member associations, but it would certainly be anything but conservative. But the problem is they do, at least in name, represent evangelicals.
As I understand it also, one of the key men in organizing this meeting with the Pope was an Italian Pentecostal pastor. Is that correct?
That's right. A Pentecostal pastor who is a pastor of a church in southern Italy called the Church of Reconciliation was one of the key men in bringing this set of meetings together. Back in 2014, Pope Francis actually traveled to his church to apologize for the Roman Catholic persecution of Pentecostals in the past. And this is a quote from Pope Francis: "I ask for your forgiveness for those who, calling themselves Catholic, don't understand we're brothers and called for a church that is one in its diversity." So the view of Pope Francis is that evangelicals, Pentecostals, Charismatics, we are all brothers and sisters in Christ, and we have seen this since 1994 from the Evangelical and Catholics both, with the Evangelical and Catholics Together document, which treated both groups and it assumed that both groups were simply brothers and sisters in Christ.
David, if you recall, last year we discussed two other major developments in the convergence between Roman Catholicism and Charismatics. The first involving Kenneth Copeland, who is probably the most powerful leader in the Word of Faith movement.
True. Back in January, I believe it was, Pope Francis actually sent a video message to Kenneth Copeland, urging charismatics and Protestants actually to represent Protestants. That's was the thinking of Pope Francis, to get past the issues of the Reformation and come back together. And Kenneth Copeland showed this video in a pastor's conference he had at his church. And at that same meeting where that video was shown, he also taped a video response and agreed with the Pope, and later traveled to the Vatican to meet with the Pope along with some others like James Robeson and other charismatic leaders. Then, in April, I believe it was, the founder of the Word of Life Sweden, which is not the Word of Life I was with, this is a hyper-charismatic group in Sweden, a man named Ulf Ekman, after 30 years of leading this very extreme Word of Faith church, he and his wife announced from the pulpit on a Sunday morning with apparently no or little or no warning that he was becoming, they were converting and had converted to Roman Catholicism.
Yeah, and that's the other major development that we talked about. Has he been as effective now under the Catholic Church? Is he still making headway as moving forward with his plan and how everybody should converge together?
You know, he's not been in the news that I have been reading, so I've not heard anything about him. I haven't followed up on him specifically, but I know that his announcement caused a lot of division and a lot of confusion, a lot of disillusionment within his church, as you can imagine. But it's all part of this bigger scheme of things moving together, and the fact that they, again, with the centering upon signs and wonders, with this being a converging point, a focal point, this is a major development.
David, there's another story that's making the headlines, which involves an event that actually is going to take place here in America next month on the National Mall in Washington, D.C. Talk to me about that.
Well, that's right as well, and this is another one of those major converging issues, and again, it involves the Roman Catholic Church, it involves evangelicals, and it involves Catholics. It's called Together 2016. It's been organized by a man named Nick Hall, who's the founder of an organization called Pulse, which is an evangelistic movement within churches. And on July 16th of this year, next month actually, they were calling to have 1 million Christians gathered together at the nation's capital on the National Mall. And so this is, again, a movement, an ecumenical movement that is coming right up.
That's correct, David. And while it's being billed as an evangelical event, the Pope, as I understand it, is going to be involved as well. Is that correct?
Well, that's right. He's not going to be there in person, but he is going to deliver a video message. I assume it will be very similar to what he delivered to Kenneth Copeland, although this is a far, far larger scope. And this Nick Hall, who's organizing this, let me just quote what he says concerning this message. He says, "We are humbled and honored by his," meaning the Pope's, "involvement, and are eager to share his message with the crowd that gathers at Together 2016. And then he says this, "That His Holiness would choose to speak into this historic day as a testament to the urgency and the need for followers of Jesus to unite in prayer for our nation and the world." So once again, the assumption from the evangelical side is that Catholics, including the Pope, are brothers and sisters in Christ.
Now, I think I heard you say just a moment ago, Together 2016 on the Washington Mall there in the National Capitol is expected to draw a very large crowd. I think you mentioned 1 million people. They also have a large lineup of some well-known musicians and speakers, don't they?
Well, they actually do. Let me just make one more point. In addition to the 1 million Christians, this involves 1,000 churches that have already pledged to attend. And the speakers include Ravi Zacharias, who's one of the major apologists of our day, Josh McDowell, very well-known speaker. Perhaps one of the most surprising is the Southern Baptist Convention president, Ronnie Floyd, is going to be there. Francis Chan, that wouldn't be a surprise in the emerging church side. And then Louis Palau, who is, some see him as the heir apparent to Billy Graham's ministry as an international evangelist. And then also Casting Crowns is going to be there, as well as Hillsong. And then probably the most well-known singer there will be Michael W. Smith. So this is a very broad event.
When these people decide they're going to speak and sing at an event like Together 2016, to some extent, they're actually endorsing this type of an operation, are they not?
Yeah, it's very much an endorsement. You know, this is the responsibility that we have as Christian leaders, that we have to choose what we do carefully, and where we choose to speak and who we choose to associate with and minister alongside, because even though we might be able to maintain doctrinal distinctions in our mind and make and justify what we're doing, for the average person in the pew and looking at that, people will say, well, if these guys are doing that, then it must be okay. They must be right. We must really all be on the same page, and it is a problem.
Well, for decades, evangelicals, charismatics, and Catholics have actually been inching closer together, David. We've talked about it before. But biblically, can and should this be happening?
No, can't, and biblically it cannot, and here's why. According to Catholic doctrine, they operate under what's called episcopal infallibility or infallibility of the bishops, and that means that any pronouncements that are made by an ecumenical council by the bishops cannot ever change because they are protected from error. So if it's ever right, it's always right. And one of the responses of the Council of Trent to the Reformation was that if anybody says that salvation is by grace through faith alone, apart from works, let him be accursed. In other words, let him be consigned to hell. Now, the evangelical belief has always been, and the Reformation doctrines say, that we are saved by grace through faith alone. So if there is movement between evangelicals and Catholics toward one another, the only movement can come from the evangelical side. By definition, it can't come from the Catholic side, which means the evangelicals give up everything and Catholics give up nothing.
And that is absolutely not biblical. By the way, that's the reason we have this conversation, to help you, the body of Christ, come to a biblical understanding on the issues that we discuss. David, always, it's a joy to be able to talk with you. Another great issue we needed to focus on this week. Appreciate your hard work to get it together. We'll look forward to another conversation next week.
Thanks, Jimmy. Always good to be with you.